Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to you all. This is the Business Day Spotlight, your destination for African business made simple. My name is Mbiwa Gabaza, and for today, we are talking to Africa's largest mobile operator, that is MTN, and they have just released their results. We're recording this on the 19th of August, 2024. They've just released their interim earnings, that is, you know, depending on what terminology you use, would say H1, some people would say Q2, but we're basically at the half year up to June, and we are joined today by Tsolo Molefe, who is the group CFO over at MTN, to give us a sense of what's happening on the financial performance side. Tsolo, greetings to you today.
Thank you, Mudiwe.
So, I think where I'll just start is for the market players, analysts, you know, retail investors, people that are interested in the company, who have come across the results, they've read the SENS, how should we be receiving or looking at your first half performance?
No, thanks. And thank you for actually asking that question. It's an important one because, you know, if you look at it at face value, you're likely to say, yo, such poor performance. But, you know, underlying for us, you know, yes, you know, we do operate in challenging, you know, environments, you know, that are characterized by, you know, tough macros where we see, you know, FX volatility, high inflation rates, and the like. And, you know, also, you know, the political conflict that's going on in Sudan, as you know, that we are in Sudan. So it has impacted us. But when you look at it, you know, from an underlying performance, we really encourage to see the resilience of our financial performance. We delivered strong commercial momentum. We are delivering on our strategic objectives. We've sustained a very, you know, strong balance sheet, you know, over the last reporting periods. So we're comfortable that, you know, even, you know, our balance sheet remains strong under very tough circumstances. When you go into Nigeria, and you look at it beyond just the macros that they are facing right now, underlying performance, 32.4% in service revenue growth. And that is coming from most of their service revenue bearers, voice up 12%, data up 55%. FinTech, yes, still very nascent in Nigeria, but when you look at enterprise business growing by 27%. Of course, the big impacts are on the operating expenses line, largely due to, you know, the sharp devaluation in the Naira, which is affecting, you know, the tower contracts. So we've seen losses both on the operating expenses side and also below EBITDA line because of the finance charges, the FX losses that are, you know, impacting the cost line. In South Africa, when you come to South Africa, we'll realize that we've actually seen an improvement since the first quarter. Consumers, yes, are still feeling the pressure. So you do see that on the prepaid side. But we have concluded our network resilience program, and we've seen some improving trend in terms of, you know, top line performance, relatively speaking. Our network resilience is above 95%. You know, if you recall last year, we were talking about network availability being below 80% or so. So a very pleasing set of results. Some of the, you know, markets like Ghana, Uganda have done exceptionally well as well. So from a portfolio perspective, when you look at the underlying performance, we're pleased with the results that we have delivered.
You know, when you talk about underlying performance, my understanding has always been, and the way that you characterized it with the different pockets of growth, is that you have a business that at the core is growing, right? And in simplicity, it means there's more subscribers, people are consuming more data, people are spending more than they did in the previous periods and whatnot. But where it becomes difficult is your translation.
Absolutely.
Against the US dollar, all of this stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. And you touch on a very important point. So when we talk about our service revenue at group level growing 12.1%, that's in constant currency. But if you look at it on a reported basis, for instance, you know, we saw a decline on top line of 20.8%. And part of the reason for that is, you know, most of the, you know, local currencies were weaker against, you know, our reporting currency, which is the South African rand. So on translation, we've lost a lot of top line. So you see that coming through in our numbers. And just to give you a view, if we had been, you know, translating this year's numbers at last year's currency before the sharp devaluation in the Naira, we actually would have seen an 18% increase on our service revenue. And that is what I mean by underlying performance. It's largely due to those translation impacts. It actually comes through as well on our adjusted headline earnings per share. So after adjusting for all the once-off items, such as the impairments, the hyperinflation, we still see a reduction of 50% on adjusted headline earnings, and it's largely due to the translation impacts.
So let's maybe address, I won't even call it an elephant in the room anymore, because it's just the thing that's happening. And that tends to be, you've spoken about Sudan, there's obviously Nigeria. Of all the things that are pushing and pulling at MTN in Nigeria, how would you characterize how these different things are pulling at you? Because you've got a cost of living crisis that is affecting consumers on the ground. You've got, a fuel levy that was taken out that probably pushes up your energy costs, either to yourselves or at least your tower operator. You've got the tower leases, you've got the FX. Of all of these things, it sounds like the perfect cocktail of things to pull, a business down. How do you remain optimistic, in such environment?
Look, I mean, I understand where you are coming from. I think for us, how we look at it is there's still structurally higher demand for our services.
Yeah.
And if we don't invest, obviously we would not be able to, support the demand for our services. So what becomes challenging, of course, is do you invest? And of course, we invested a lot lower this year for different reasons. But, we're starting to see congestion on our network, and therefore we want to invest more. And the conversations with the regulator and government has to continue, because this is really about making sure that, as we say, everyone deserves the benefit of a modern connected life. How do you do that? You need to connect. And how do you connect? You need to continue to invest. And really, it would not be sustainable for us, to continue to invest and not be able to pass on some of the costs to the consumer.
Yeah.
Yes, understood, the consumer is faced with a lot of pressure. But if you think about the fact that there hasn't been any tariff increases in Nigeria, I understand, for almost 10 years, it really begs the question around, the point you are making. We do think, the regulators and government understand it, but given the challenges, at hand currently, to your point, where consumers are faced with a lot of pressure, the unrest that you saw the past couple of weeks was really because of this pressure that is coming through. Nigeria, continues to be, our large market. And of course, due to revenue decline and it's really due to the devaluation that it's been overtaken now by South Africa. But in terms of customer base, to your point, it is significantly higher. And we do believe that we have to hope and believe that, the regulators are seeing it. And it's not just for MTN, by the way, the whole industry. Otherwise, the industry will not be sustainable into the future. And we have been saying this for a while now. So at least the conversations are happening. They are not saying, don't talk to us. They are listening. They are talking. Other industry bodies are also talking. The GSMA issued a paper. Economists are talking about the sustainability of the industry. So we hope that, we will have a good outcome at the end of this.
When it comes to the portfolio of a company like MTN, obviously you've got your big markets, Nigeria, Ghana, South Africa. Those tend to be the Anglophone, types of countries. And I do understand that, at least in this part of the continent, we tend to, focus on those. But before we, end this, I wanted to touch on two points. The first one is Francophone. How are your Francophone countries performing right now? And I ask that against the backdrop of, you know, the fact that you are, you know, reimagining what the portfolio looks like, and a couple of those will be let go. But for the Francophone countries that are current in the portfolio and will be left in the portfolio, how do you see that?
Look, I mean, and it's a mixed bag. We challenged currently in, you know, Ivory Coast. You know, we've seen, you know, a bit of pressure coming from disruptive competition, some regulatory headwinds, but also the undersea cable cuts that happened in the first quarter. The biggest impact was, you know, on Cote d'Ivoire for some reason. So they've suffered that. But I think the entry of Wave into the fintech business, but also Move, have had that impact. So we've had to respond. We now need to, what we are doing is, how do we respond in terms of making sure that we retain, you know, our position in the market, but over time, you know, don't do the same thing that the competition is doing. So we are very measured in terms of how we look at it. We need to give it time. We believe it will turn around. You know, other markets like Cameroon, which is also, you know, a market that is fairly, you know, big within our portfolio when you compare it to, you know, Uganda, Cote d'Ivoire, is doing fairly well. We are comfortable, you know, with the progress that we are seeing there. Yeah. We have, and then smaller markets such as Congo Brazzaville is doing well. Benin market structure dynamics are playing out there, and we are also in discussion with regulators around there. So we might need a different strategy moving forward. And then we've got, you know, small markets, as we said, as we communicated, that we will be exiting markets that we believe are not sustainable, such as, you know, Guinea-Conakry. It's still in discussion with the regulator there to conclude the exit. We've exited now Bissau. So Liberia, obviously, may probably be one of the ones. If you recall, we had communicated previously that those were the three markets we were considering exiting. But Liberia is currently off the table. It may be something that we look at as we monitor the performance and see if there's any, reason for us to stay in the market or not. Uganda is a very ideal market. Our investors look at it as an ideal market within our portfolio, because everything that could go right is going right in that market, including the macros. Ghana, you know, doing very well as well. So Uganda and Ghana, we look at them, you know, outside of South Africa and Nigeria, probably as model, of course, in terms of the performance. Yeah.
So it's good when there are bright spots, you know, in the portfolio. And when a person is thinking about the cocktail that we've just spoken about, the good and the bad, the fact that the underlying performance is good, but you still have this negative effects, you know, at the bottom, you know, because of the erosion that's happened at the top line. And you've walked us through the journey across your different companies. How do you then get to a place, because I could anticipate that investors may ask, you know, to say, given all the pressure on MTN right now, how are you still in a position to pay dividend?
Look, I mean, firstly, to your first question, we have to look at them over time. The issue is, can they turn around? Do we see any prospects of growth in those markets? And, you know, through our reviews, that's how we look at it. There are a lot of variables. We look at the commercials, the ability to be able to invest. Is it, you know, a positive market in terms of regulation, et cetera? So we look at it, you know, holistically, including, you know, the political environment. So if we believe that from a risk assessment perspective, we can mitigate those pressures, we will continue to be in those markets. I guess when you look at the ability to upstream, I mean, I would say that, you know, for instance, if you look at Nigeria, I've been here 3 years. My first year, we were able to upstream quite a significant amount of, you know, dividends that had not been upstream for a couple of years before that. So, you know, it is going through the challenges from a macro with FX positive. It's negative equity. We've just upstreamed the dividend, interim dividend of 2023 from Nigeria. we believe that, you know, once it gets out of the cycle, it should be able to start, you know, showing some dividend flow. Uganda is doing well in terms of, you know, dividend flow and cash upstreaming. Ghana as well. We've started whatever we had said previously where it's becoming increasingly slow. We're now seeing significant progress in Ghana. And then the other markets are actually upstreaming. Those that are not able to upstream right now are the small ones that I referred to. But we look at the portfolio's ability to be able to upstream and ask ourselves, you know, when will they be able to? And to your point, you know, this is the conversation that we have with shareholders, but we actually don't go through market by market and say, overall, we look at the portfolio of the business and are there any markets that can give more than the others, given where they are currently? And that's how we look at it.
All right. I think that gives us a good sense of, you know, where you guys sit on the dividends point of view. Where we can end off today, one of the other big announcement that came out from MTN on results day is the extension of MTN Sakele Futhi, which is the BEE vehicle. Maybe you could just, you know, walk us through that salient points and, you know, how people should, once again, how should the market be reading, you know, into that extension?
Yeah, I mean, firstly, I think it's about creating shared value. You know, the scheme would have been expiring, you know, end of November 2024. So, you know, we decided through our board that, you know, to continue, you know, obviously that creating shared value, it was important that we consider the extension of, you know, the scheme. It is also important part from a BEE perspective in terms of level one, both at group and MTN South Africa. But it is a decision that still needs to be made, put before, you know, shareholders. I think sometime mid-October, you know, at the EGM, you know, of MTN Sakele Futhi. And we think it, you know, shows a positive, it gives a positive message. I think the scheme will have been at its 11th year. You know, on extension. So it really shows, you know, the commitment that we've made. And despite the fact that the share price over time has, you know, reduced quite significantly and shareholders in MTN Sakele Futhi have not been able to, you know, return the investment that they had expected. But the fact that we're extending gives them an opportunity. And we have to believe on our side, of course, as MTN that, you know, we will, you know, do our best to make sure that, you know, we improve, you know, our performance so that the share price can improve and therefore the shareholders can also, you know, receive that return. Yeah.
Maybe just as a quick follow-up to the Sakele Futhi conversation, is there anything to perhaps changing the structure? Because, like you said, this is the 11th year that that the scheme has been in place. But we've seen that other corporates in South Africa have established like an open, something that's open-ended as opposed to something that has fixed periods.
Yeah, I mean, I think for now, we've only talked about extending for a certain time period. And obviously, we will continue to, you know, review as we go along. We do believe that, you know, shareholders in that mix, as I said, are concerned about, are we able to get value at the end of it? Yeah. Which is why it's important to place it before them. And understandably, there could have been some disappointed around the fact that it hasn't, you know, performed. If you recall, we even, you know, it was also impacted by the fact that we had suspended dividend and we reduced the dividend, to shareholders. So that had an impact on it. But so far, we're not thinking about it as an open-ended. We're only committing to, you know, the next couple of years as we extended 3 years. And we will see, obviously, at the end of the period. Yeah. Together with, you know, the Sakele Futhi board as well and shareholders.
All right. Cool. Yeah. That's where we end off. It has been great just catching up with Solo. You just giving us some insight into MTN's first half results. Some of the things that she was emphasizing is that the underlying performance of the group, is in a good place. They are seeing growth in a lot of their key metrics, from a portfolio point of view. They do operate and admit that there's a lot of challenge in the portfolio, but underlying performance is actually quite good. And even in the countries that are seemingly challenged, there is, I think, to use her words, you said that there's greater demand, for the core connectivity products that MTN has in some of those markets. Also giving us some insight into how the different markets have performed. And I think the key takeaway is that Uganda and Ghana, sort of seen as two of the model, opcos or operating companies that MTN sees in its portfolio, specifically Uganda. I like that she said that everything that could go right is going right in a market like Uganda, and also giving us some insight into how the Francophone countries have performed. She said that it's a mixed bag in some of those markets, which is why we see some of the exits. But your countries such as Cameroon, are doing pretty well right now. And then markets such as South Africa has done well. And because of all the different translations that she took time to explain to us earlier on, that has now become the biggest from a earning point of view, not necessarily because it's a bigger business, but upon translation, it then becomes the biggest business in the portfolio. Anything that I'm missing?
No, I think you've touched on, everything. And I want to say that, we are resolute in terms of, continuing the momentum. Cost efficiencies is very important to us under the circumstances to really mitigate the macro impacts. We've delivered 2.4 billion rand, in the first half on cost efficiencies. And we will continue, with our program of 7 to 8 billion rand over the 3 years. And really quite excited about the prospects of the growth in MTN.
Right. So that was us. We're in conversation with Solo Molefe. She is the group CFO over at MTN. Solo, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
And that's been it for this edition of the Business Day Spotlight. Remember that you can find our latest podcasts on Business Live. That's under the podcast Business Day Spotlight tab on Twitter with hashtag BD Spotlight. And remember that you can review and subscribe for free on iono.fm, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, or wherever you choose to get your pods casted. I've been Mudiwa Gavaza of the Business Day and Financial Mail. And this has been another edition of the Business Day Spotlight, which is a multimedia live production. So from myself and the rest of the team, it is good evening, good afternoon, and good morning.